This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A Russian jet collides with a U.S. drone over the Black Sea. Yikes. And a storm slams into the East Coast, and it snarls traffic, to say the least. Power outage out west, thanks to all the heavy rain, or the atmospheric river, as it's being called, that went as far as Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo. So it wasn't just confined to Northern California. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, it's the snapshot of what we're dealing with in the good old USA. And then, oh yeah, there's the bank fallout, and there is some big fallout from what happened with the banks that failed. And what does it mean with this SVB, the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, especially? It's kind of a little bit of a wake-up call, I'd say. So on the East Coast, there were a lot of cancellations and a lot of delays, 4,000 delays in all, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of flights canceled Tuesday because of the winter storm. You had so much snow, over 2 feet of snow, Vermont and Massachusetts. And I talked to someone there today, and the snow was that heavy, wet snow. They said it was really nasty and impossible. Even with blowing it and shoveling it, it was really significant. And then at times it was gusting, you can even see. So that significant snowfall and that heavy snowfall rate meant there was low visibility, and it was dangerous, period, for flying and for driving. So you had New England really hit hard. New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey and lots of school districts, of course, were closed for the day. That makes sense ahead of time, because then you get the strong wind and the weight of the snow on the tree limbs, and we know what happens. It's a familiar scenario. What does it do? Topples the power lines, and then you got outages. 250,000 homes and businesses across New York and New England in the dark as of Tuesday night, right before I jumped on the air. 25 million Americans at one point under winter storm warnings, watches, or advisories. 40 million wind advisories. Yeah. I mean, LaGuardia in New York, because there's three airports in and around that area, the ground stop was called off. Delays were about 2 hours. In Connecticut at Bradley, they closed because of the storm. About 40% of the airport's flights were canceled. I mean, you get that much snow falling as fast as it was inevitable that that was going to happen. Now, in California, you had 350,000 homes and businesses that didn't have power. You know, their outages are real, too, because of what's happening there, of how soggy it is and trees falling because of so much rain. And with this storm, you had threats to the southern part of California, too. And it's just been really nasty, nasty weather in California. Lots of floods, and you see in places like Montecito, which is right there in Santa Barbara, they've got those creeks that are just overflowing, and they're always on the brink. They're always on the brink of, oh my gosh, are we going to be flooded? And in Monterey County, they've already got floods. Some of it has receded, but then when they get the heavy rain again, it starts to come back up again. And of course, you've got roads that have washed out, and it's been very, very tough. Definitely in the Bay Area, definitely in the Central Coast of California, a lot of increased risks for mudslides and the impact devastating in the foothills and the mountains, 4 to 8 inches of snow, lots and lots of flooding, like I said. And what do you do? But you evacuate if you have to, or you find whatever it is or whatever it takes to certainly to stay dry. Okay, so while that was happening on Monday, because some of that weather slapped into California over the weekend, a Russian fighter jet collided with a U.S. Air Force drone, a $32 million drone over the Black Sea, and they're denying it, right? They're saying that it's just a lack of competence. Wow. And one of the fighters one of the two Russian fighters clipped the propeller of our drone, forcing our operators to have to bring it down in the water, into international waters. Russia says they haven't seen the drone, and our people say they don't know where the drone is. At this point, we know it's a $32 million drone that went down. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, briefed the press on what happened. John Kirby, who's a spokesperson for the National Security Council, said on Tuesday that Russian pilots have intercepted U.S. warplanes in recent weeks, but not in a reckless manner like this. It's the first time that an intercept resulted in the splashing of one of our drones, and the Reaper drone was operating in international airspace when it was knocked down. The Russian fighters dumped fuel on the drone, flew in front of it several times, whisked by it before the actual collision. And they say, we're going to continue to operate in international airspace. And we call on the Russians to conduct themselves professionally and safely, not so recklessly. And Russia is denying it. They're saying that did not happen, that it wasn't their fault, that it was the maneuvering of the drone. So, look, the drone was probably conducting surveillance for Ukraine. And Russia's disruption of the Reaper was within the laws of armed conflict, even if Russia had better ways of doing it, if you were to look at it. A lot of experts on international law would use that excuse, would say that. And the crash of the drone comes at a bad time, though, because we've got a lot of tension going on with Russia over the war in Ukraine. Since Russia invaded Ukraine in February of 2022, the U.S. has sent more than $30 billion in military aid to Ukraine, right? And the assistance, without directly having a confrontation with Russia, has been successful. That has been the approach, let's face it. Now, this is a little bit nasty. Let's see where all of this ends up. All right, speaking of ending up, it's called ending up in the tank. The SVB, rather, collapsed, the Silicon Valley Bank. So now you have Moody's downgrading the banking system to negative. That's shocking. Rapidly deteriorating stock rallies at the end of the day helps, but Moody's Investor Service cut the view on the entire banking system to negative from stable. I mean, this is a big deal. The big three rating firm said, you know, this is, even though there's efforts to shore up the industry, if you look at what happened, you have to declare that it's negative from our perspective, from stable. The U.S. banking system, that's what it's showing us because of these failures of these several banks. And the move followed action late on Monday when Moody's warned it was going to either downgrade or place on review for downgrade seven individual institutions. Wow, that's big, because they could impact credit ratings and borrowing costs for any banking sector, right? That's what happens. The Treasury Department, of course, has backstop the program with $25 billion in funds, and they're vowing that if you deposited money in these banks, you're going to be made whole, and so you're going to get the money back. What I want to know is, what did the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank know? How did they first know? When did this whole run, the red flags go up, since they were very flush until they weren't on Friday, and then that run ruined everything. Bob Burley coming up next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
So this time around on Author's Corner, we're taking you to Australia for a conversation with a very prolific novelist. And I love, in our off-air conversation, I love the way he views the world and some of the subjects that he's tackled for sure. So without further ado, in like I said, he's in our virtual green room. Let's introduce you to Robert Edward Burley, and we're going to talk about some of his novels. Bob, thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
So let's start with The Japanese Pilot, A New Beginning. Tell us about that book and what was the road that led you to write about it. And tell us about your main character, who is Shinzo Watanabe. I like that.
Well, Shinzo, actually, Watanabe.
Watanabe.
Comes to bomb Darwin during World War II. And he's shot down by the Australian forces. And he limps over into Queensland with his plane, and then it crashes and he bails out. But he's picked up by one of the local farmers, and instead of turning him in to the authorities, he takes him home and they feed him and teach him how to farm and give him a life in Australia on their farm. They're the Flanagans. And after some time, Shinzo meets and marries one of their relations, Gertie, and has three young children. They marry, and in 10 years' time, they have a roadhouse that pumps gas in the outback, and she makes the meals. But when the authorities find out, they're saying, how did you get here? You're an illegal immigrant. So they have a big court case in Rockhampton, where they want to deport him back to Japan or put him in jail. But the solicitor from Sydney, the lawyer, argues, what's the best that can happen here? How can we help this man and the family? And he convinces the judge to allow him to have Australian citizenship. And the story is really about kindness and consideration for people and realizing the fact that we're all human beings and we need that consideration.
I'll second that. We definitely need that consideration. And another book that you've written is How Did It Come to This? And it's very current for what we're talking about. Tell the listeners what that plot is about and what the novel overall is about.
Well, I think everyone in the world today is watching the news, and they're kind of interested or concerned to see what happens in the Russian-Ukraine conflict. And my story follows two protagonists, or two characters. The first one, Yuri, is a Russian young man who is a teacher, actually. He's conscripted into the army and sent to Ukraine to fight in Bakhmut. And while he's there, he's in an artillery barrage. He's in the bottom of a trench and he's freezing and he's about to die. When who comes along and rescues him? A Ukrainian soldier called Yuri. Yuri takes compassion on him, pity on him, and revives him and actually befriends him and helps him get back to Russia to his pregnant wife. And Yuri lives up in the Ural Mountains with his wife and her grandfather. And the story also follows the path of Milo, the Ukrainian soldier who rescued him, who also rescues a nurse, Svetlana, in a bombed hospital and tells the point of view of the Ukrainian people who are undergoing missile attacks. The conflict in the novel comes to the point where Milo and Svetlana have an opportunity to go travel to Finland and then Poland. But when they do so, they agonise over their duty, and she's a nurse. She convinces Milo they need to go back and fight for their country, and she performs her duties as a nurse. So it's a very contemporaneous novel. You can't finish the novel in historical terms because it's still ongoing. But the conflict of the people is still real and going on.
Yeah. And as we're speaking, there's another book that you're working on right now. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of give everyone a sneak peek on this one because you're in the middle of doing interviews and pulling it all together. And let's hear about this subject.
Well, this is it's a nonfiction based on real life, where about a man called Ron Bell. Now, Ron Bell was an Australian man, a young man in the early days of World War II, and he volunteered to go and fight. He and his brother went to the Middle East, and very, very much under-resourced. He was captured by the Germans, both of them, and they were handed over to the Italians, who were sent to Trieste, to a concentration camp. Then, as the Nazis started to lose and Italy surrendered, they escaped from the concentration camp and tried to get over the Alps to Switzerland. And that's why I've called it Flight to Freedom. And I've been introducing Ron Bell's daughter and friends of his that survived. He only passed away in the 2000s, but his story is one of courage and caring, because two of the men couldn't make the journey and they were going to leave them and get away themselves. But Ron convinced his brother to go back and get the other two and help them escape. All four of them got over the Alps to Switzerland. That's Flight to Freedom.
Yeah, wow, what a story. So whether it's this one that will eventually come out, nonfiction, or the novels that we talked about, what do you hope people take away from reading any of your work?
I think it's the universality of human kindness. Kindness can overcome huge barriers and in all walks of life. Not just in wartime, but in our daily relationships with people. Meaning if you can do someone a good turn, don't do them a bad turn. You know, it's something, my life's philosophy, that we're all in it together, we cooperate, and we help each other. I've been in the caring industry for a fair while, helping people with psychiatric disability to reunite with families and, you know, help with their budgets and things like that. That's been one of my ambitions and jobs that I've been doing. I still do it today.
Yeah, wow. That's all good. What wonderful thoughts that you have there. For you in writing the books, whether it's nonfiction or it's fiction, what's that like? What's it like for the process and when you actually finish it? What does it feel like?
It's a sense of achievement. But in my education, I was educated by Catholic nuns. And a nun told me once, if you have a talent given by God, use that talent. Don't let it languish. Use it to help other people. Now, I've got a deal with a news agent in Newcastle, where I live, that she will sell my books, but the proceeds will go to the Cancer Research Foundation. Right? Once I cover costs, everything else will be donated.
Wow.
So that's... And that's what I want to do, to support worthy causes and not just enrich myself. I'm a comfortable person, you know, in through my work and through my employment, and I don't need lots of money to be happy. I need to see people achieving and people overcoming their problems. I'm not a saint, don't worry. I'm not a saint.
Right, but there is something about watching people overcome things that is, it is rewarding, isn't it?
I've worked in mental health, and one lady, she was in a psychiatric institution for 18 years, and would you believe she was on the wrong medication? I got everything reviewed. I was a manager, case manager, and that woman today lives a normal life. She works. She has 1 mild sedative, and she used to try and strangle people. Now she's completely normal, and she enjoys her life.
Wow, what a story. Well, we certainly enjoyed our conversation.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. President Biden signed an executive order on gun control during his visit to California today. It aims to increase background checks for gun purchases.
My executive order directs my attorney general to take every lawful action possible to move us as close as we can to universal background checks without new legislation.
The president is meeting with survivors of the mass shooting in Monterey Park, California, where 11 people were killed. The U.S. will not be deterred from flying in international airspace over the Black Sea. That's what White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby said after a Russian fighter jet damaged and forced down a U.S. drone. Kirby called it unprofessional and unsafe. The federal government is joining a lawsuit against Rite Aid for filling prescriptions for opioids and other controlled substances that were not medically necessary. The Justice Department is accusing the drugstore chain of missing red flags. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
In the man cave, we could do a whole show on free agency, which the door just kicked open in the NFL on that. But of course, we have just a small little window of time, so I'm going to give you a couple of quick highlights. And in our future man caves, of course, I'll keep going through all of this. All right, winners. Some of the winners, I think, from day one of free agency. A couple of things: the Colts. They got a deal for a kicker that I think is going to work for them, which they desperately need. And also, and I'll talk about that in a second, but also the Broncos. There's a lot of conversation about Sean Payton and what he's going to be able to do after his years with the Saints and then being in the broadcast booth, so to speak, being on the set. And what now? So sluggish offense. Russell Wilson, we don't know. Big question mark. Terrible debut with the Broncos. Needs some help. 49ers right tackle Mike McGlinchey gets a 5-year, $87 million deal. Smart move. Ravens left guard Ben Powers now also with the Broncos. 4 years, $52 million. Jags tight end Chris Manhertz, 2 years, $6 million. Great move because he's also a big blocking specialist, and that's what they need. That gives serious help that I think the Broncos needed. And then if Wilson has problems, you got to have somebody that you think you can put in, plug in, and that's Jarrett Stidham. That's what Sean Payton thinks anyway, and pretty relatively cheap, 2 years, $10 million. So that's the backup plan under center. Very, very smart move, I think. You cannot rely on what's going to happen with Wilson. You don't know. Now that he's getting a little more help, I think that's the good news, but, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, a foot is just a foot until you really need it. Kickers are so important, as we saw in the NFL. That was never lost on me when I covered the NFL day to day, flew with the Cowboys. I watched the Cowboys go through kickers, and I had some great kickers and how much of a difference it made. And then also the same thing with the Giants and many of the other teams I covered. So Matt Gay, the Colts
have their answer. Perhaps they agreed to terms on a big, big contract with the former Rams kicker. It's a 4-year deal worth $22.5 million. So that's the largest contract any kicker has ever been given in free agency. If you think about that, that's an average of over $5 million a year. So that makes him the second highest paid kicker. He would trail Justin Tucker, who just signed a 4-year extension with the Ravens. He's over $6 million a year. So good for them for making that move. I think it's smart. All eyes are on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. There's just so many dang rumors out there. I have tons of friends who cover the NFL on a daily basis, and it is still a looming question mark, because now supposedly one of the things, and this is, I understand, a big rumor, but it is, in my opinion, from the people I trust and talk to who cover sports in New York, this is a true deal. Of course, he's going to ask for what does he want? What does he want around him? And apparently he's consulted on who he wants around him, and he wants Odell Beckham Jr. to be there. He also would like three other players from the Packers to be signed by the Jets. And Randall Cobb is one of them. He loves Randall Cobb. Alan Lazard, and also Lewis is another one, the tight end Lewis. So we'll see. They all caught passes from Rodgers in 2022, and they've done it for years. Beckham is a big name still available out there on the free agent market. And, you know, the former Giants star missed all of last season because he had an ACL tear, but he's definitely gotten interest from a lot of teams. I say a lot, a handful of teams. And maybe it's going to be the Jets. Wouldn't that be interesting? Jets fans are just burning up the phone lines, by the way, in New York talking about all of this because they're incredibly excited about some of the possibilities. I don't understand the Lamar Jackson deal. What is happening here? He is disputing the report that he turned down $200 million in a guarantee from the Ravens. He doesn't have a signed contract. He doesn't know where he's going to play in 2023. I mean, obviously, it's still unknown. He got a non-exclusive franchise tag from the Baltimore Ravens after they failed to reach a long-term deal. The non-exclusive franchise tag, if you don't know, means that he's allowed to negotiate with other teams. Jackson tweeted a report from ESPN's inside man, Adam Schefter, that he turned down a $200 million guaranteed deal in September, and he's disputing that. He's saying that no, that's not true. In fact, it was from Baltimore Beatdown. The Baltimore Beatdown, and the GIF he used shows someone pursing their lips and raising their eyebrows if the message wasn't kind of clear enough. So a lot of people are talking about that. He even had like a funny emoji at one point. He said, "I need an agent." And so the 26-year-old is definitely fighting back, so to speak, through social media and disputing some of what's being said there for sure. Like I said, we could fill up so much time talking about free agency, and we've just scratched the surface there for sure. But I want to make sure we talk a little bit about March Madness, because, you know, now we have the four playing in, and we're off to the races, so to speak. And it's such a bit, the 16th especially is such a big day. People are frantically filling out brackets. It's really fun when you look at March Madness and what can happen in March Madness. It's upon us. So it's about, you know, trying to figure out the grade of what could possibly happen. And the thing that's so interesting is we don't know. You know, there's always some surprises along the way. And when I say there's some surprises along the way, that means it's not always clear as to, okay, here's the favorites, but it doesn't mean when we look at the tournament, it doesn't mean that we're not going to see some of those Cinderella stories, which of course are the best. And I think that's what people are looking for when you're filling out these paper brackets that you're getting wherever it is that you work. And I know you're listening to me, and you might know not anything about college hoops. It doesn't matter. It's just like a guessing game. So we've seen A lot of 12 over 5 upsets in 6 of the last 10 NCAA tournaments. And there's nothing better than that, right? But how often do you pick those upsets? I mean, there's just all kinds of stats on it. I could steep you in stats here, but we're not gonna do that. How about the Florida Atlantic Owls? Their first round opponent, not easy. Memphis Tigers. But it's a deep team. I've read a lot about these Owls, and they just whipped through Conference USA. They won the title game with a 22-point drubbing of UAB. That's a really, really good team. However, they're also going up against a really, really good team. The Tigers love to run and gun, baby. They do. So what's going to happen in the transition? Here's the thing that has to happen to me, and you could say this with any team. Based on what I've looked at in this matchup, what the Owls, of course, want, they've got a great offense, and at least in Conference USA, and they have the number one offense, the number two defense. So they shoot the ball well, and they're good around the boards. What they're going to have to do is not commit a lot of turnovers, and they're going to have to force the ball. They're going to have to force those turnovers. And like I said, you could say that about any team, and to me, that's what they have to do. All right, I'm kind of curious about the Boise State Broncos. There's been a lot of noise about them, but they're going up against Northwestern. So, you know, Northwestern has its strengths, right? And you think of the turnovers they force, and I looked at how many during the season, and they were incredible. I mean, when they had a couple of wing and a prayer games, I call them, that's where they really came through. So some people are saying it could be the Broncos upsetting the Wildcats, but they have to have reliable scorers. They have to do that. Because the strength of Northwestern is, again, pushing the turnovers. But Boise State is pretty good with handling the ball. They have a great point guard in Marcus Shaver Jr. However, I'm going to go with Northwestern strengths. And even though a lot of people are picking them to Boise State to pull off the upset, I'm going to say I don't think so. Here's another conversation line for some is the Providence Friars, and their first round opponent is the Kentucky Wildcats. The Wildcats have had a really interesting season. Not as strong as a season as the fans would like, that's for sure. But when I look at Bryce Hopkins, you know, he barely played last season at Kentucky. Then he transferred to Providence. It's almost Providence that he's playing in this game. And he's so rugged. He's so tall. He's so good at the free throw line. He's going to be a handful, right? Kentucky, though, is great around the boards, especially offensive rebounding. They have a lot of putbacks, almost 8 points off putbacks. And they rank 7th in Division I this season. I'm going to say this could be the Friars are going to be ready. This could be an upset, and the Kentucky Wildcat fans will go wild if that happens. I could go through a whole bunch of others that I looked at, but I'm going to stick with quickly this last one. And there are some people that are saying the Colgate Raiders. Who? they could be the Texas Longhorns. And I'm going to say that I don't think so. I think that Texas is going to be too tough. They're going to be too tough around the board. I'm going to say that, you know, Texas is fresh off the Big 12 tournament title. The Longhorns are going to have to come up with some good defense, and they've been known to do that when they've certainly had some big winning games during the season. And though some people are picking the Raiders to beat the Longhorns, I'm going to say the Longhorns roll through on this one. All right, the Man Cave has to close the door. We're out of time. Good luck with your bracket.
You're unbelievable.
Oh.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This time around on Author's Corner here in America Tonight, we're taking you to a town just south of Adelaide for a conversation with an author named Frauke Matthews. And the book is called How to Use a Glue Stick and Other Clues to Parenting. Frauke, thanks for hopping on with us.
Thank you for having me.
So why did you write the book? What motivated you?
Questions from parents motivated me. And the ease that I had with the children, and I realized it was very much in the approach to each child that it sometimes worked and sometimes didn't work. And when you are a parent, you not necessarily stop and think what you might have done differently. You just have to get on with life. And so I eventually gathered up what the questions were and organized the books around those 10 topics that came up each and every time with new parents, but also with grandparents.
When you look at the 10 topics, and you don't tell us all of them, because of course we want people to get the book, which they can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but tell us what you think are a couple of the important topics of the 10.
A couple of the important topics. I can say, perhaps with explaining the title of the book, How to Hold a Glue Stick. This is based on an observation with a parent who was sitting at the table. This was a playgroup, so I was working with a parent and a two-year-old, and the mother had given her child a glue stick to paste on little bits of colored paper onto a bigger piece of paper, and the child held it like a step in a stepping grip, and every time she said, "Don't press too hard," the child would stop and look at her. And she would say, "Don't press too hard, don't press too hard." And I watched it. And after about the third or fourth time, I said, "It's not working, is it?" And she said, "No, she's just so stubborn and headstrong." And I said, "No, she isn't. She is trying very hard to understand what you mean." And then I asked the child, I asked the parent to watch me. And I got down on eye level with the child, put out my hand, touched her hand with the glue stick, and touched my hand. And I said, "Put the glue stick in my hand." And the child did just that. And then I proceeded to show how you would press hard and how you would press gently. And what I wanted the child to do, I said last, because that is what a two-year-old will remember. And I showed her how I held the glue stick, and then I gave it back to her. And I said, "Can you press gently?" And she did just that. So the mother thought I had a magic touch, and I said, "No, it isn't a magic touch. It is watching what the child is doing, understanding what she is trying to do, and that she's trying to understand what you mean. But what does press hard mean? What does press mean, let alone press hard?" So you have to realize that she didn't get it. She's trying to get it, and all you need to do is actually demonstrate with as few words as possible, and then let her get on with it. And it worked.
Which makes sense, because that's a communications thing and communicating in their language at that age. When you wrote this book, was it the lessons that you learned from everything that you saw in teaching, from interactions with kids, was it a joy for you to put this together, or a little bit challenging?
No, it was a joy, because I got so much pleasure out of working with the children. You never quite know what is coming next, and you never quite know how a child will respond, because each child is just so unique. Even if I had siblings, two or three from the same family coming for 3 years, each and every one of them, they were all different and unexpected. You can't predict how they will respond, and it's only experience then that might help you in predicting what a child may do. But lo and behold, there is always one who is, again, doing things entirely differently, and that is the pleasure. And I felt that I was at the same time relaxed and at the same time alert working with kids.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Unnerved and also a joy to work with kids.
Yeah, because if you are anxious, a child will pick up on it. If you tell a lie, they will pick up on it. If you say, "Oh, darling, this painting is so beautiful," a child will quickly glance up at you and say, I don't know what they think, but you, by the way they look quickly at you, I haven't done it to them, by the way, but by the way the child looks up at the adult, you will see that they are not sure about what's going on and how to take it. So you've got to be honest, and if you don't know, you don't know, and if you can't do it, you can't do it. And sometimes you can say to a child, "Well, I don't know how to do this."
It makes sense. So again, the book is called How to Use a Glue Stick and Other Clues to Parenting. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I hope parents will learn from the examples given that I hope that they will see what will work and what doesn't work. And definitely what doesn't work is yelling at the child. That will never work. Being impatient, that will not work either, until they have well-developed skills that you have patiently put in those first 3 to 3.5 years. I am not without sympathy for parents. I'm a parent myself. And in those early years, children change so quickly. And very often as an adult, as a parent, you are constantly behind the eight ball just when you think, okay, I get it. This is how I need to do it. The child has moved into a different stage of development, or they have picked up things and learned things that you didn't even know they had picked up and learned in the meantime. Because some children will watch a lot, and they will only carry it out in action when they know they can do it. But you can't tell what goes on in that child's head, and you don't know when they will do it. But suddenly they, for instance, children who talk, they don't talk for a long time, and suddenly they talk in whole sentences, and you think, what? What happened there? And then, of course, and that happened. I have had kids like that in my preschool, and I would say, what? When did you learn that? Did you do it when I was looking the other way? And then they just smile at me and giggle, or... You know, you have to have a bit of a sense of humor as well with kids, otherwise it's not going to work.
Yeah, and boy, your background is so interesting because you've worked, you've taught overseas, you've applied these principles with adults and beginners and learning English and whatnot, and it works across the board, doesn't it?
It does, because the adults I worked with in Spain who were the beginners, and they gave me the beginner's classes because I was patient and I didn't get annoyed when they didn't get it. If I just talk to them without explaining anything or without showing or demonstrating anything, their facial expression was exactly the same as a little child that looks at you and doesn't get it. They are trying hard to figure out what you are on about, but they don't get it. And the facial expression of these adults was exactly the same. And the minute I either, if I couldn't demonstrate it, I just gave the translation in Spanish, then you had that, that kind of look in the eyes. Just like a little child that when you demonstrate what you mean, they suddenly look at you and they get it. For instance, and this is a few further steps in the development of a child, when they learn to recognize letters or three-letter phonetic words, they already know the letters, and now you put them together into a meaningful word, and you sound it out. You sound each letter out slowly, and then you put it together so it sounds like a word. And they look at you, and they look at you, and suddenly, there is that light in the eyes. Oh, cat! Yes, I know what a cat is. And there is that sense of wonder that a cat can be represented by these three squiggles. And that is just delightful. And then there is no stopping them.
Wow. And what a perfect place to end this on that high note. And we'll say this again, you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. And this is great for grandparents, parents of any sort, gifts to all of those kinds of people. Frauke Matthews, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. It was lovely being here, and have a great day.
You too.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.